Hey, what's up? Welcome back to The Sound Table. I'm your host, Austin, and I'm joined by our co-host, Miranda.
Hello.
And today, we want to kind of talk about the current, I guess, like, atmosphere of pop music. What artists are in style? What sounds are in style? We feel like everything is being so, like, female-dominated in pop music right now. So I just kind of think that we're going to get into the whole landscape of pop music, kind of where we think it's going, how it's kind of shifted over the past couple years. Because if you look at the charts right now and what people are liking, I think it like could not be more different than like 2020. But before we dive in, go ahead and make sure that you follow us wherever you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you're watching the YouTube version, make sure that you subscribe to The Sound Table because we are doing these every other week and we are still trying to grow the podcast. We have a good time doing it and, you know, we hope that y'all have a good time listening. But a lot of the people who are listening are not actually subscribed or actually following. So you might not be notified whenever we do release. But let's go ahead and let's just dive into the topic. I'm excited to talk with you about this, especially with you being a woman and pop music being so kind of woman focused right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess to dive in.
And I'm a pop girly at heart.
Yeah. Miranda truly is just like, if you ask her what kind of music she likes, it is just, it's pop,
pop music.
And I feel like you're enjoying more music now than like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh yeah. I like always joke with everybody that I'm friends with that like, I have like quote unquote terrible music tastes, which I don't actually think I do. I just joke about that because I don't like any like people that are considered like cool and mysterious and indie. And I feel like that people think that's lame if you like people who are popular.
Right.
But yeah, for such a long time, I would listen to the same album for like 6 months and the new album come out and I listen to that album for 6 months. And I would rarely get like an actual top five artist, you know, like Spotify or Apple Music does at the end of the year. Mine are so rarely actually people that I like, five people that I genuinely listen to all the time.
Right.
Cause I just don't listen to that many artists. Like
that,
I'm
or
so
it's like
picky.
Oldies mixed in. It'll be like Stevie Wonder and Al Green.
Yes.
And
like last year in my top five was Nelly. He has not released, well, he might have been, but I have not released.
No, this
is
like, this is like Nellyville, Country
yes,
Grammar Day,
like,
Nelly.
Like 2000s Nelly. And the year before that, yeah, Al Green was in my top and Stevie Wonder and maybe Etta James.
Yeah.
I can't remember though, but it's never, but this year's going to be different, you guys. I'm going to have all artists from 2024 in there, which is very impressive for me.
Yeah, I guess that's like a perfect segue into like, what is the sound of pop music now? And like,
yeah,
why do you feel like you're not even more inspired, but just like enjoying pop music more now versus like 2021, 2020, even like post or like pre-pandemic, like 2019.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I've seen people talk about this online, so this is not like an original thought, but people have made pop music fun again.
Yeah.
Like it's so fun. It's like dancey and like even though just the lyrics, like they're just silly and fun. And that yes, sometimes they have deep meaning. But like, can we just get pop music that just makes you feel good? Like, that's kind of the point. I don't want a think piece with every song I listen to.
Right.
I do that enough on my own. I don't need a song to like do that for me, which is totally fine if you do like that kind of music. I personally just don't. And I feel like that is the big wave that we've had are just fun pop songs that make you like want to sing along and dance. And it's just, it's fun. It's so fun.
Yeah, I do think that we had a big wave. And like, as somebody who's had a pop-based YouTube channel, I think I've probably realized it more than anybody. Like when our channel was really taking off in like 2018, 2019, 2020, dark pop was like the craze.
Yes, it
Everybody
was.
Basically wanted like a hip-hop track with like a down-tempo pop vocal over it. They wanted everything to be in a minor key, these big kind of droning synth basses. And you like all of that stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But like at the same time, pop music was so dark and down-tempo for years. And it started getting even smaller. Like we started to see like bedroom pop creeping in, you know, Billie Eilish started popping up. So people were like, oh, I can make records in my bedroom. I can make records that only have like 8 tracks happening. And so we started seeing a big craze of like a lot of DIY artists doing these smaller, more intimate productions. And those are really, really cool. But like that started actually being mainstream pop rather than what has always been, you know, mainstream pop is kind of the big bombastic, overly produced crazy songs, and then there's always like these smaller genres of people doing their kind of niche things.
Yeah,
those niche genres ended up taking over. Like hip-hop was huge, like alternative R&B was huge, and like the most you might get is like maybe Truth Hurts by Lizzo, and even that song was kind of like a fluke. It had been out for a couple years and just got in a movie and kind of blew up. And like, at that time, that song, I think, blew up after being in that movie because there was just like such a wild gap for that kind of music.
Yeah.
That anything truly. Over like, you know, 95 BPM, anything that was in a major key, anything that had live instruments in it. And over the past like year and a half, I think we've really transitioned into that with artists like, you know, Olivia Rodrigo, Chappell Roan, Sabrina Carpenter. Dua Lipa has been doing it for a little while, yeah. but like she's still kind of doing that stuff. Who else?
Charlie XCX.
Charlie, super electronic, yes. but very up-tempo. She could have easily made like kind of darker, slower, you know,
like
more
underground
ballady things.
Kind of things, yeah.
Yeah, and I just like look at the pop charts this year and I'm like, looking at the trend of tempo and of key and even of like arrangement, I think things are a lot more unique now. Mm-hmm. Like we have a song like Please, Please, Please by Sabrina Carpenter that's number one in the country. And most elements in that are live. You know, it has like a key modulation right in the middle of it. She's an insane vocalist on the track. It's produced out really, really well. And it sounds big, but it's not like this like super overly shiny pop song. And then on the other hand, you look at something like Espresso, also from her album. It's like the definition of like overproduced studio pop music, but it's still so enjoyable. It was like the song of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't happening at all years ago. And now I'm seeing it everywhere. Even small artists, you know, even artists that I'm working with, they're wanting more upbeat stuff. They're wanting more, you know, things that kind of have live elements while not being these really low droning band songs. And it's cool because the last time I think pop music was upbeat and fun was like the 2010s, but we have a totally different aesthetic behind it now.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, I don't really love the 2010s aesthetic of pop music. I just felt like, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like now it feels like it has more like of a spirit to it and like a soul in it almost, which I know it's not like soulful, but do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I almost look at it like 90s and like early 2000s pop.
Yes, that's what I relate it more to. I feel like it is more like the early 2000s pop than like 2010s like Katy Perry vibes kind of pop. Like, I feel like it's not really similar.
I feel
to
like
that.
The songs are like written a little bit smarter. The chord progressions yeah. are a little bit more interesting. Even looking at somebody like Chappell, right? Like yeah. Good Luck Babe is a super simple song at its core. However, it feels so nice because there's just small little things that like her and Dan Nigro do that takes the song to the next level. She has a whole chorus that's kind of in like a falsetto chant. She has like all of these cool production elements that only happen once or twice. And she wasn't afraid to like really lean into that 80s aesthetic without super, super modernizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yeah, you do look at something like the like 2010s pop that was just like, it was basically club music with,
right.
you know, like a pop vocal over it. And, you know, that still is like nostalgic for me and stuff, but like, I don't want that to come back necessarily. Like, mm-hmm. I don't need a billion things that sound like Sean Kingston and, you know, Tayo Cruz and like early Katy Perry, because at some point, I think that that's the pop that people think about when they have a negative connotation about
yeah,
pop music.
For sure.
Because they were kind of just like these big labels churning out kind of factory written songs. And they're all super catchy and the producers are all great that worked on them. But now I think we're seeing music that's a little bit more upbeat. It's a little bit more interesting. And they don't all sound alike. Like, I don't think Sabrina Carpenter's record sounds like Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess.
No.
I don't think that Brat sounds like Billie Eilish's new record. I don't think that Tortured Poets Department sounds like, I don't know, what's another big pop record that came out? Like, Kacey Musgraves, I know that's like country pop, but...
Or I think Dua Lipa had an album.
Yeah, Dua Lipa had... or even like Ariana Grande's like Eternal Sunshine.
Something Optimism. Oh yeah, was Ariana Grande this year?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, see? But I feel like Ariana was a little more like slow tempo with it. She kind of
I feel like her
do...
album felt like 2017, 2018 to yeah. me. And I think that's why it wasn't huge.
I think so too. You know what else I was just thinking about? Why this feels different than 2010s pop or even honestly early 2000s pop. I feel like the vocalists now, especially like Chappell and Sabrina, they're just so talented.
They're so good.
And they can like hit these notes that I feel like a lot of pop artists don't typically hit.
Yeah.
Or like doing these runs and these vocal sacks and these like hitting this falsetto in these songs. I feel like that's not as common for pop anymore. Like it wasn't as common and now it is and I love it.
I also feel like they're a lot more involved in like the writing and production.
I think so. I think they're taking that stereotype of like pop music is just like made in a room with like 20 people and it has nobody connected to it, just given to an artist.
And then the artist comes along in one afternoon and sings it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they think that they can sing and that people put auto-tune on everything, which like newsflash, everyone puts auto-tune on. It's not like everyone sounds like T-Pain with auto-tune.
Right.
But anyway, that's an artistic choice, might I add. That man can actually very much sing really well. Anyhow, off my soapbox. But I think that's why it feels different too. I think it is these like really well-written lyrics that are clever and they're sang by people who are super good singers.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is, it sounds mean to say it's new for pop music, but like it's a little like unheard of for people to be on like the top charts like they are with that. I feel like that's both of those things.
You I feel know like what the I mean? Perfect example is like you look at 2010s and you look at somebody like Justin Bieber, who is an incredible singer.
Yes.
And I feel like that was why he was standing out so much, is because everybody else was kind of just doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they weren't untalented, but I wouldn't say that vocals was like what drew you to them. What drew you to them was they were a marketable artist who had catchy songs that a studio wrote.
Yes.
And then you see Bieber and you're like, oh, this kid can like actually fucking sing. And now that's like the barrier of entry. I feel like there's so many people doing music. I actually think that we are having a rise of like raw talent.
I think so, yeah.
You know, artists are playing instruments. Like we're seeing Sabrina and Chapel. We're seeing them play guitar and piano. We're seeing them, you know, produce in the studio. We're seeing Olivia Rodrigo go and do, you know, full band arrangements by herself. And I think that we live in the age where like any artist right now is learning how to produce while they're also learning how to be an artist. They're learning how to songwrite while they learn how to be an artist. And I think that the raw talent in terms of just like vocals and writing and performance is just on the rise. Like,
yeah, that's another thing, is a performance. I feel like that is one thing that pop got back, is like these
women pop got back.
Women pop, shall I say? Yes, yes, yes. Because women, the girlies are running the pop game. But like, yes, this like, give me the fits, give me the choreo. You know who I think is really good at that? Is Tate McRae.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's an incredible dancer, which I know she was a dancer before she was a singer. So like she does have a leg up on a lot of people, but I'm glad that she actually puts that skill to use, because she is an incredible dancer. She always has a fit. And like Chapel, same. She's like running around stage in an outfit. We saw Sabrina at the, well, we saw it at several of her shows. She does her little dance and she does outfit changes at like her Coachella set. She did outfit changes. It's like, just that's crazy.
Very clear that like they want to perform. They don't just want to get up there and sing.
No, they want to give you a show. Like, right. It's not just a concert. It's like, we are giving you a concert and a show.
Yeah.
And they also happen to be incredible singers on top of that. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I do feel like as pop music is getting more upbeat, a little bit more bright, not even like necessarily happy. Like you look at Tate McRae's music and all of her songs that did really well on the charts in her new single, faster tempo, more almost like dance track. Some of them have like that early 2000s, almost like Timbaland vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the down-tempo songs on her record did not do numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And like everybody wants the up-tempo stuff, even if it's darker up-tempo.
Yeah, like Charlie's album, a lot of those songs are very dark, but the beat's so like pumps you up so you don't even care. You don't even notice.
And I think that's why specifically women right now are on the top of pop specifically. It's because you look at like, you look at the way that the actual music is going, and it lends itself, like you said, to choreography, to big set pieces on stage, to, you know, these crazy live band arrangements that sound different to records, costume changes, media appearances. Like you look at pop in the late 2010s, like 2016 to 2020, and it was pretty male dominated. You had like Ed Sheeran, you had Shawn Mendes, you had Bieber doing his comeback tour.
The Weeknd.
You had The Weeknd, you had Zayn. And you look at that and you were like, okay, all of that music felt much moodier because it was not as bombastic as like women are doing in pop right now. And then you look at the early 90s or the late 90s, early 2000s, same thing. The male bands back then were doing the bombastic shit too. And that's why they were huge. But you look at like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Destiny's Child, all of those artists. I think it's like clear that if they don't have that performance, they don't take off, because the music is really good and catchy. But when you can see them have the whole package, that's what gets them sticking in people's mind. Tate McRae's new video is going viral. Number one, because it has shock factor, because she has the whole nude scene. But number two, because like the dancing is sick. The choreography is sick. We talked about it before on this podcast of like K-pop was passing the US for a minute because they had big music videos. They had good dancing. They had artists who were like acting more like celebrities and like having that celebrity. That's why everybody talks about Chappell Roan having like an attitude problem. And I was like, maybe we just need a celebrity who's not like trying to be best friends with everybody on their fucking social media.
Really? And an attitude problem and setting boundaries, those don't feel like the same thing to me, but
they're not.
You know, I digress. To each their own, I guess.
I think that's what's so interesting about pop music now is like, I do think we're getting the rise of like, when people think about pop as a genre and not just pop as like a coin for popular, I think the genre of pop was kind of asleep at the wheel for a few years. Mm-hmm. I think that
I agree.
Pop for a minute just kind of meant whatever was popular. Maybe it was Drake. Maybe it was Ed Sheeran. Maybe it was, you know, Casey Musgraves. Maybe it was whatever. But we didn't have a big foundation of like, that's a pop artist.
Mm-hmm.
After we kind of saw Bieber, you know, tailing off from his music, we kind of saw, you know, The Weeknd getting a little bit darker. I think that there was a big, big hole in like, holy shit, we don't have any like pop stars.
Yeah.
And now we're getting those back.
Yeah. I feel like the last like true pop stars that are similar to fashion of the ones now were like Kesha and like Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Those are like the pop stars. I mean, I know Katy Perry as well, I guess, but I feel like Katy Perry doesn't have as much pizzazz.
I feel like she tried to do the thing where she like started taking her music very seriously and like,
which I
understand. She tried to have like meaningful deep pop and like, that's great for her. People didn't want it.
Like, right. Yeah. That's, well, some people I'm sure did, but yeah, that does. It is like a risk.
Yeah.
And obviously Taylor Swift is popular then as well, but
again, though, she's had genre changes. Yeah. Like Folklore, yeah, not a pop album. Evermore, not a pop album.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight's kind of like a dark pop album. Like it's not super bright and shiny.
Even the Tortured Poets Department is kind of like, yeah, has several. I mean, it's 30 freaking songs. So,
but
it
like you look at all that
several.
Compared to 1989, where it's like
pure,
highly
pop,
produced, sugary bubblegum pop. Same, yeah, with like half the records on Red. And then, yeah, you see everything. And maybe it's just because people were getting older and maturing and like the age of social media. Everybody,
I'm sure,
was like trying to seem deeper. And that was cool for a minute. But then it like starts getting boring when you're like, everybody's like talking about the same shit. Like everybody's depressed. Everybody's having relationship issues. Everybody's having insecurities. It's like, I just need music to fucking like turn on and have a good time.
Yeah,
to.
I think it was also like the culture of the 2010s, like being a hipster was like very in, being like quirky was like everyone's favorite personality trait.
Yeah. Alternative like, wasn't alternative anymore. Alternative was pop.
Exactly. So it's, that was kind of like the vibe, like hating pop music back then was cool.
Yeah.
So it was just, that was just the era that we were in. But now I feel like we're really switching it up. So where do you think pop music is going to go from here?
I was literally just about to ask you the same exact question.
Wow.
I don't know. So like, here's what's interesting is like, the power is much more in individual artists' hands, even the one signed to big labels, now than it ever was. Like, I don't think we're going to have like the early 2000s where like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears all kind of sound like the same exact song, just with a different person performing it. I don't think we're going to get back to quite that.
No.
Because I think that we are seeing artists have more agency. And I think that you can have somebody like Olivia Rodrigo, who is a pop artist, but has a very rock version of pop.
Yeah.
Or somebody like Chapel, who is a pop artist, but has, you know, kind of an 80s, almost nostalgic aesthetic to it. And then somebody like Sabrina Carpenter, who's kind of pushing it a little bit more forward, kind of doing some folk and indie stuff kind of mixed with just sugary bubblegum pop. I don't think that pop music is going to have like super, super, super clearly defined boundaries like other decades. Like you look at 80s. And it's like, I can make an 80s pop song because they all use the same synths, the same drum sounds, the, yeah, same kind of formula. Same with the 90s, same with the 2000s, same with the 2010s.
It's more like individualized.
Yeah, I think pop, I know that we said earlier, pop being a genre has like come back instead of just meaning like popular. But I think that the genre of pop music is wider than it ever has been before,
yeah,
while still actually being pop music. And so I think that, I don't know if we've talked about it on this podcast before, but me and you have definitely had this conversation many times about like micro trends and like cycles and like, especially in fashion and stuff.
Yeah.
Where for most of our life, there were very clear things that happened in 2-3 year pockets, right? Like you had the Von Dutch craze, you had the Ed Hardy craze, you had the Paul Frank craze, you had, you know, we kind of saw all of that. I feel like now with social media, everybody can show their aesthetic. Everybody can kind of build an audience or a platform or a community around whatever they want to be. If you want to be a goth, go be a goth. If you want to go be a prep, go be a prep. If you want to, you know, be like a 70s revivalist, go do that. If you want to be, you know, like Gorp Tech, where you just dress in all kind of like Rick Owens and stuff, go do that.
I don't know what any of these mean.
It's just like, I think that's always existed, but now none seem more popular than the other because,
yeah,
like, any random person that dresses in any random style or makes any kind of music could also have 8 million followers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's all like reserved for this person or that clique or this style of music. So I think the pop music will continue to get even more diverse. But I think that until men can figure out how to encapsulate the brand of pop like women can, the only guy I think that's even close to competing right now is Harry Styles, and he hasn't made music in 2 years.
Or Troye Sivan.
Troye Sivan, yeah.
But I think my biggest gripe, and I've said this before, is that these men pop stars don't give what we want. Like, give me a stage, give me an outfit change. Like, I loved Harry Styles. I loved getting to see him, would do it again in a heartbeat. But he didn't have one outfit change, a very simple stage, which I actually did like his stage setup, thought it was cool. But I'm like, not gonna give us anything.
Yeah, you look at that versus like
when we went and saw Olivia Rodrigo, she had like four outfit changes, and like her set was probably the same length as his.
Yeah,
if not a little shorter, because she might even have less music than him. But no, I'm sure it's about the same. But
an hour and a half.
I'm like, why are the men just don't give like the women. I'm curious of this, is his name Benson Boone?
Yeah.
I'm curious about him because I feel like he, like his VMA outfit that he wore, his like sparkly jumpsuit, I was like.
Pushing it a little bit. Like he could have easily just done like jeans and a t-shirt or like a suit or whatever and been like fine.
Yeah. And I was like, that's a cool little fit. So I know he would just.
Out there doing flips on stage.
Yeah.
Great singer.
Yeah. And he just opened for Taylor Swift somewhere. I think
he did like one or two dates.
Yeah. Somewhere overseas. UK. I'm not sure. But I'm curious when he goes on his tour. He's probably already been on tour, but when he goes on another one now that he's more popular.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious if his like stage shut up and if he has outfit changes or anything like that. Curious to see. Because I feel like the men just don't bring it normally.
Yeah, I feel like that's why a lot of the men have trouble crossing over into like being like a pop artist. Like, even somebody like The Weeknd, who is clearly pop, he also sits so heavily in like the R&B hip-hop area. But like, I think if The Weeknd chose to market himself more like a pop artist, do, you know, stage performances more like a pop artist rather than, you know, kind of a darker, more mysterious R&B guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be a pop artist, but that's a perfect example how of like being pop is not just about having a song like Blinding Lights. It's about having the vibe of a pop artist, like that larger than life, bombastic, over the top, like, whoa, that's a celebrity. And I think The Weeknd has that, but something about it, it's just like not quite the same as looking at somebody like Taylor Swift or Olivia Rodrigo or Chappell or even like Charlie during the Brat rollout is like, that shouldn't have even been as big as that was. Charlie has kind of like, she had a big spot in pop music and she's kind of chosen to go more electronic, more underground, more club and house. And like, she's enjoyed doing it. And so when Brat ended up being like a fucking cultural movement this summer, I was shocked.
Yeah, I was too.
But I think it's because she gave pop girly.
Yeah. Curious if, which let's try, I was trying to get too deep here about it because I know this is like a heavy topic, but I almost wonder if a lot of these artists that were, all these men that we're talking about are straight, as far as I'm concerned, they're straight. And so I almost wonder if they have trouble with being like more flamboyant and out there and bombastic because they don't want to be perceived like and get bullied or anything like that. Because everyone was like questioning Harry Styles' sexuality, and when in reality, it's none of your business. It doesn't matter. Right. And like, there's
almost like, are they trapped in like masculinity of like, oh, is it like feminine or is it gay if I go up there and do like a choreographed dance or like have outfit changes or like care about my aesthetic?
Yeah, which obviously being gay is not a bad thing, first of all.
No.
It's definitely not. But like, also, some straight men still view it like that. And I almost wonder if they're worried about losing their male audiences who maybe would be like not into something like that. Like, I don't know. Right. I'm just curious. I don't know if that's the case. It probably isn't that deep, but it's probably just mainly because women are expected to do it 10 times more than men and get less recognition for it. Like, I'm sure that's more of what it is. It's probably way more simple than that. But
yeah, but I think there's even like ways to do it that like don't really lean towards like gender or sexuality at all. Like I look I'm considering a pop band. Like I look at somebody like Half Alive, who I know is like alternative, but to me they feel like a pop band because when you go to their show, you get a performance. It's artful. They have choreographed dances. They have a whole vibe to their music. They put a lot of effort into their visuals and they write their music like a pop song. And mm-hmm. so like, I see the effort that they put in versus somebody who might be a great band, but when you go see them live, you're kind of just seeing them live. And mm-hmm. like, that's not a bad thing. It just puts artists in different categories. And that's why I feel like pop music is not just about music. It's about show. It's about brand. It's about aesthetic. It's about how you connect with your audience. It's about how you represent yourself in the media. Like, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's going to be hard for somebody to like really dive into being a pop artist now if they're not fully committed to like the whole bit of being a pop artist.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think that somebody who is like an independent artist, like how do they get that kind of all-encompassing brand of being like a pop artist, especially if they don't have like crazy budgets, crazy, you know, connections? Like how is somebody differentiating themselves from like an up-and-coming like indie artist rather than being like an up-and-coming pop artist?
I think it just depends on like the music that you make. I don't think that because you're a small artist, if you're making pop music, I don't think it automatically makes you an indie artist just because you're a smaller artist. I mean, again, we keep bringing her up, but look at Chapel. Like Chapel Roan wasn't a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Not
six
many
months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, really. But not many people knew who she was. And she was a smaller artist, but she still did do these amazing music videos. And she still, when she would perform, I don't know, I'm just guessing, that she would still wear these like outfits. Like, I think, like she used to do her own hair. She used to do her own makeup. She used to like figure out her outfits herself. Now she has people she can hire to do those things, but that's very new to her.
It's not in a bad way, but like she had like a shtick. Like she had a signature. Like, yeah. Chapel Roan was like a character that she had created. I look at her and like, I think the perfect antithesis to like seeing how she's blown up and how somebody who's had some songs that have gotten some recognition, but for some reason hasn't blown up yet, is somebody like Conan Gray, getting produced by the same guy, making very similar music. And Conan has great music videos. They, you know, do lots of tours and performances. And you almost wonder, like, why isn't Conan getting as big as Olivia and Chapel? And I think that that's what's so interesting. And that's why I do feel like pop is just like so female dominated right now.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like women want more music to listen to because for a while, I feel like y'all weren't getting fed any relatable music. Like mm-hmm. I felt like just for years, all of the music kind of written for / marketed to or targeted at women just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And so now I think just from watching you, and this could be totally just, you know, anecdotal, but like, you're relating to a lot of the music released now, or at least enjoying it a lot more than before.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, like, since you've been so starved for like relatable, enjoyable women artists for a few years now, if you have the choice over a talented male artist and a talented female artist, you might go female.
Yeah, probably. I'm a little biased. But I also think it relates back to a lot of the female artists writing their own songs.
Yeah.
I think for such a long time, it wasn't I imagine back in the day, it wasn't really an option. Like, if you had an idea, like, that was great, but, like, you were kind of either an artist or a writer, and it was, I feel like it was kind of hard to be both.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman, and, like, if you wanted to write fun music, it just isn't taken very seriously, and it's more like, no, you don't write music like that. We create it for you in a room, and then we send it to you, and then you don't get any say, and you just get on it.
Right.
Like, Miley Cyrus, like, with Party in the USA. Like, she didn't get to write that song. That song was just given to her.
I think that song was written by Jesse J.
It was, yeah. But clearly, Miley can write songs because she wrote Flowers, and, like, that song blew the hell up.
Yeah.
So it's not, which granted, back then she was a lot younger. But still, I feel like that's kind of how it was. It was, like, we produced this pop person, like Britney. Like, they found this young 16-year-old girl, packaged her up exactly how they wanted her to be, dressed her how they wanted her to dress, gave her the image they wanted her to have and the aesthetic they wanted her to have, and then gave her these pop songs and were like, this is your brand.
Yeah,
this is what you're doing. You're like sexy, but not, you're like barely legal. That's your vibe. And it's like, what the
hell? Some of
this year
she wasn't even legal.
I know, which is just like, that is a whole nother subject. But I felt like that's how it was, especially for women for such a long time. You didn't get this agency over your creativity. You just got sold as a sex symbol or as in, like, however they wanted to package you up, that's how you were packaged up.
Well, I feel like too, like that's kind of a good example, or I guess like segue into basically a point to make that, like, I think women are getting back on top with pop, because I think just women as a whole right now are trying to take back a lot of their power and agency. Like, we're seeing more women come out and be political. We're seeing more women come out and fight for their reproductive rights, or fight for trans rights, or marriage equality rights. We're seeing more women kind of get fed up with a lot of men making decisions for them. Yep. And so I think we're seeing women artists who are writing their own songs talk about shit like that. And like, we're seeing somebody like look at Sabrina's album, right? You have songs where I don't know if 6 years ago a label would have signed off on a woman saying, "I beg you don't embarrass me, motherfucker." Mm-hmm. Like, I think that we're to the point now where labels are not able to push back on women as much right now, because women are taking back a lot of their agency and their power. And I think that women right now are doing maybe the best job that they've ever done with writing, especially not even Sabrina Carpenter, but like a lot of her writing team is women. Like, you look at like Amy Allen, you look like Julia Michaels.
Both super talented writers.
Yeah, you look at like Stella Jones. Like, all these people are really, really great, and they're writing great pop songs. And I saw the perfect example the other day. Somebody was like, I saw somebody arguing that Espresso is a poorly written pop song because it says "That's that me espresso," and they think that it's garbage. And they were like, "That's great songwriting though, because she's made a tagline that has no other competition and has never been used before."
True.
We're like, poor writing, especially as you're a writer, as you're making hundreds of songs, as you're submitting to labels, a poor writer is somebody who says very basic things in a way that a lot of people have said them many times.
Yeah.
So being like, instead of saying like "That's that me espresso," like a really basic version of that would be like, "You're addicted to me," or like, "My love is so good that it has you coming back for more." Just like things like that, like these really cliche phrases that could be really easy to just kind of Mad Lib style throw in a song. "That's that me espresso" is not that. "Mountain Dew me" is not that.
"That's that me espresso" is not
that. It might be campy. It might be cheesy and corny.
Yeah, I was saying
that, but it's written to be like that.
Yeah, there's because stupid it's lyrics, catchy. But like, that is the point. That's my thing. That's
but it's
what
not
I'm
bad
saying.
Writing.
No. And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, pop is back to being
campy,
not taken so seriously. And I think that's what Charlie has done so well on her album.
Yeah.
Is that she has the stuff that she's talking about, and a lot of it is very deep.
Yeah.
But her lyrics are simple. She's not using these like crazy vocabulary words or like these the structure that you've never seen before.
She's literally just talking to you.
It's literally like she's reading from her diary. It is very simple to understand, but it's so relatable because it feels like you're like, that's what I would say. That's what I would write. Like, that's how I would think.
It's almost so transparent that it feels unique because nobody writes music like that.
Yes. Hers is super unique in that way, I think.
I literally am like, think about like "Sympathy is a Knife." Like, that whole song is basically just like almost like a manic state of thought of being like, I want to kill myself because I'll never be an it girl.
Yeah.
And like, she could have made it really poetic and artsy fartsy and whatever, and like, it could have done the same job. But like, I think that song is so great because like, other than saying Taylor Swift's name, it's basically just like a letter to her of being like, "Hey, it's not really your fault, but like, I don't really like being around you because it makes me hate myself.
It makes me feel small."
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's perfect.
Or you even look at like, I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
About like her battle with like wanting to be a mother or not. That could have been such a deeply poetic song that also could have been really beautiful. But like, the whole second verse is she was like, "I was in Stockholm and I went to my friend's house and saw their baby and was like, holy shit, do I want this?"
Right, exactly.
And like, it's so honest and simple that you're like, oh my God, I haven't heard somebody sing like that in forever.
Exactly. I think she's like, she really hit the nail on the head with that album and her writing style of it being so simple yet so relatable, and feels like some, like, it doesn't feel like anything else that's on the radio. Like, I love a little complicated song and learning new vocabulary words, like, don't get me wrong, but it is nice to have stuff that is just simple, easy to digest. Like, again, I think you need that sometimes. Like, you don't want to watch like Good Will Hunting every day, or like, I don't know,
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh my God, not that same movie. Yeah, it's like, you, or these like, or like Parasite, like these,
like Goodfellas. Like, you don't always want this like deep, intense shit.
Yeah, like sometimes you just want to watch Dude, Where's My Car? Like, right. That's probably a problematic one. I don't know. I haven't seen that movie in a really long time. But you just want to watch a stupid movie sometimes. That's the same with music. I feel like people don't treat entertainment all the same across the board. And I think there is a spot for really intense music. Oh, sorry, hit my mic. Really intense music. And then there is a spot for silly little goofy music that makes you feel good. And those artists who make silly goofy music that makes you feel good can also write serious music.
Well, and even the serious songs, I was literally just about to say, like, even a song that is serious, I think that artists now, especially women artists more than ever, are cutting out a lot of the bullshit and just kind of saying what they want to say.
Exactly,
like, you look at a song like Casual by Chappell Roan, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the hook is literally talking about, she literally says word for word, bar for bar, knee deep in the passenger seat and you're eating me out. Like, that would have never been in a pop song 10 years ago.
No.
Because they would have been like, oh, we need to make this marketable for this. If it's going to be pop, it's got to be ultra marketable. 5-year-olds have to love it. 65-year-olds have to love it. And now, like, the women on top of pop are like, no, I'm just going to say what I want to say, and I'm going to say it however I want to say it.
Yep.
And if that's beautiful and poetic, that's great. And if that's me literally just saying, like, I want somebody to fuck my brains out, that's also fine, because women are allowed to do that now and they weren't in the past.
That's what I mean when I was saying, I think it's evident now that women have more control of what they're releasing and what they're writing and what they're writing about than in the day of them just, like, getting a song and being told, like, well, this is what you have to sing about if you want to be popular.
Right.
It's like, now I think they have more agency over that. And I think that's why it's so popular and why women are rising to the top.
Yeah. Not even in terms of, like, just, like, taking back their sexuality and saying what they want to say and being direct.
Just in general.
Like, I don't know if a woman would tell a guy, like, fuck you on a song a few years ago. Like,
right.
And I kind of like that. Or another, I don't know if a woman would tell another woman that, you know, mm-hmm. but, like, I'm so glad that we're to this point where, like, male artists have always kind of been allowed to say whatever they want and puff their chest up and, like, put on a tough guy act. And, like, that's fine. Women have not. Like, women have definitely been smile and make stuff that people can relate to on a very simple level. And I think they're still making really relatable music, but I think it feels more honest now because you're seeing somebody like Olivia Rodrigo get to write a song like a 20-year-old and not have to write a song either like a 15-year-old or like a 35-year-old.
Yeah,
I think it's cool that you get to basically see somebody act their age, talk their age, get to basically make a song like they were performing it for people only their age. Where before, I just think you said it perfectly. Like, artists have more agency to make whatever they want to make, however they want to make it, and push that out into the world.
Yeah.
And I think with things like TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, all it takes is one artist doing one thing that a bunch of people relate to, and then the label doesn't really have the power to be like, you can't do that.
Exactly.
They're like, well, 200 million people just watched that reel, so do you want to make money or not?
Yeah.
And, like, I think that it is more, I think it's more marketable now to be honest and relatable than it ever has been.
For sure.
And so I think it's labels refreshing. Are letting it.
Yeah. I think it's refreshing. I think there's it's hard to be relatable, to be vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not just relatable, but, like, vulnerable. It's hard to be yourself because if you're a character of somebody or a caricature of a person, then when people make fun of you or are mean to you, it doesn't hurt your feelings because you're like, well, joke's on them because that's not really how I am.
That but, or you just, like, stay in, like, PR mode all the
yes,
time.
Yes, but when you're vulnerable and you're, like, that's hard because then people will come at you for things that, you know, when you open yourself up.
And it feels a lot more like a personal attack because you were a lot more personal. Like,
exactly.
I don't care if somebody doesn't like a song that I kind of just, like, shit out in an afternoon and, like, didn't mean anything to me. I'm like, whatever. It's just a song. Like, it's not that big of a deal. If I pour my heart and soul into a song and somebody shits on it, that upsets me.
Exactly. And imagine, you know, these bigger artists, they feel the exact same way.
Yeah. I am interested to see, like, how pop keeps progressing. I feel like only thing is, like, I want to see more up-and-coming pop producers. Like, I'm loving what Dan Igro is doing. Jack Antonoff has been dominating for, you know, a couple years.
He's been doing it for so long.
Taylor and Sabrina. But that's what I'm saying. Like, those guys, all amazing. All the women writing, amazing. I want to see some fresh faces. I want to see some 20-year-old producers, some 30-year-old producers. I want to see people who might be getting, like, their first few cuts. And
he's manifesting it for himself, you guys.
Yeah, I actually am just talking about me. So, no, but I think there's, like, a lot of untapped talent. And I think that as we start to see artists be more honest and personal, I think that we might get to a point where they are looking for maybe producers who are a perfect fit rather than being just, like, a hit machine.
Yeah.
And so I'm keen to see how that works out. But that's my thing of just, like, I'm all for put, you know, the power back into, you know, smaller people's hands, smaller artists, smaller creators, smaller producers, smaller labels. Because I think that at the end of the day, there's just, like, so much talent that's undiscovered. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we, you know, keep getting a lot of music from like the same six people or whatever. But at the same time, that's also going to get stale really, really fast.
Totally.
And so like even like Sabrina's record, Jack, I know, did a bunch of them and they're great songs. He's an all-time producer. But I was stoked that she worked with like a couple other producers. Mm-hmm. Like I was stoked that she worked with what's his name? I know his name on Instagram is John the Blind. I don't know his last name, but she worked with him. She worked with like Ian Kirkpatrick has a lot of huge cuts, but he's not like constantly like doing all of the biggest artists. I think that there's just so many cool producers. Like even you look at Lil Nas X when he did his album and like he was working with.
He just released a new album.
He was working with a bunch of smaller producers. He did like, not small, but like he worked with like John Cunningham, who, you know, is not like Max Martin.
Right.
Or he'll work with like Day Trip, which is not like, you know, Metro Boomin. And I think it's cool. And even those people are like top of their game. I want to see people work with somebody who's like, who the fuck is that produced that song? Because they're incredible.
Yeah.
Especially because I do feel like the, you know, independent pop realm right now is just so good. Even my friends that are in bands, I'm like, they should be writing for big artists.
Yeah.
Like the guys in Jones should be making songs for K-pop artists.
For
the guys
sure.
in Knightley should be making songs for Taylor Swift. Like, I just think that there's so much talent in like that mid-level that of artists making great music who like aren't sacrificing quality, but for some reason are not the ones behind the biggest cuts in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting.
But that's really like my only wish for pop, because I like that we're to an age where like, you want to make an upbeat song, make an upbeat song. If you want to make a ballad, make a ballad. If you want it to lean rock, make it lean rock. If you want it to lean country, lean country. But like yeah. at the end of the day, I feel like pop as a genre is just like making more sense because I can still like focus all of it. Like while they could not sound any more different, Sabrina Carpenter, Chappell Roan, Charlie XCX, Billie Eilish, they all have the same vibe, even though the music feels completely different. That's why I'm like, they're all pop artists.
Mm-hmm.
Where...
I mean, Billie was literally on a Charlie song.
Literally. Where like, I would look at like 2016 and I would be like, oh, I don't know if like, if Zayn and Katy Perry and The Weeknd and Drake, like, I don't know if all of them feel.
Like, imagine like Kesha and Katy Perry doing a song together back then. That would have been, you'd have been like, what?
No, I think a lot of people could have imagined that. Not now though.
No, because she's a piece. Katy Perry, by the way, I'm talking about Katy Perry's a POS, not Kesha.
Talk your shit.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking if you work with a known rapist as your producer when there's, I don't know, a million other producers out there and you're a literal millionaire.
It gets so much worse too when you see like what the song was about. Oh, I was like, the fucking, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think she's right flopping right now because people are not really that interested in her because
she just won the freaking Vanguard Award at MTV.
Yeah, for the last 15 years of her career, not what she's doing now.
That's true. I don't think she played any new songs in that mashup like that she did.
But even still, like,
she didn't play that Woman's World song, I can tell you that.
She didn't play that one. But, like, I look at her and I think that's a perfect example of, like, a 20-year-old woman is not really interested in watching that.
No, because she's...
unrelatable.
She doesn't understand camp. It's like, she's like, it's campy. Like, we're being sarcastic. It's like, but you're not, though. Like, there's plenty of artists who know how to be campy and sarcastic, and you're not doing it, babe.
Yeah, and it's just not serving.
And it's not like she didn't work with a female producer on that. I don't think she worked with a female director on that music video.
I think she might have.
Well, that'd be a shocker. I don't know. I just
I don't know. Like, I just feel like that's the perfect example of like the pop artists that we saw in like 2012.
Yes.
And then now people are just like.
Yeah, like rolling their eyes at those people.
Kind of like whatever.
This is a podcast. They can't see you rolling your eyes.
Watch the video version. But. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm number one. I'm excited that, you know, women are finally getting more recognition in the music industry and like not just recognition, but like respect.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they're getting more respect as artists, as vocalists, as writers. And if people are not still respecting them, I think it's just much more clear than ever that like, oh, you're just misogynistic.
Yeah, totally.
Where like before it's like, you're still misogynistic, but it is harder to argue with somebody that's talking about like, well, Britney Spears is not that talented when she's getting like handed songs, handed outfits, handed choreography. Like,
yeah, but you know how fucking hard choreography is?
Oh, I 100% agree. I think that it's still a dog shit argument, but I'm saying like, at least they have like defenses where now it's like,
I guess,
I mean, I don't know. Like Charlie XCX is like producing a lot of her music, writing it, performing it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what else you're really asking for right now.
Listen, they could do anything and those people would still complain. So I don't think that's really a...
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're going to all of a sudden respect women.
What do you think pop music's going to lean like, though?
I don't know. I was just about to say, I really don't know where pop music is going to go. I think it's a really hard genre to guess.
So like pinpoint?
Yes. Like, I remember a few years ago, we actually had a discussion and I was like, I feel like pop music's not that fun anymore. Like, I feel like we don't get like performances anymore. Like, we don't get our... I specifically remember saying, we don't get artists who like dance and like do choreo, give us outfits, give us like, we don't get that. Like,
or just
show.
Like deliver like a bona fide hit. Like something, yes, that is like undeniably, even if it's an irritating song, catchy as fuck.
Yeah, I was like, we're not getting that. And then boom, all happened. So, I mean, not that I predicted it, but
you did.
Just
Nostradamus.
That's a coincidence. But I do think it's hard to predict. And who knows? I like where we're at right now. So selfishly, I hope it stays that way. I know it won't, because that wouldn't make any sense. But I'm very curious to see where it goes. I'm curious to see where these artists go after this. Now that they're super popular, curious to see what way they take their career. Because that seems like a really high pressure decision to make.
Right.
So I'm curious to see where it all goes.
Do you think men will start to catch up?
Yeah, I think so. I just think...
Do you think they'll catch up to pop, or do you think they'll kind of just like co-opt another genre that starts charting really, really high?
No, I think if Lil Nas X released a new album or Harry Styles, I do think it would really take off. I think what will not be a determining factor, but I'm just curious to see the Benson Boone. I'm just curious to see where his career goes, because I feel like based on his performance, granted, I don't know anything else about this man. I've never listened to any of his music. I only know that one song that blew up on TikTok or wherever it blew up. I'm curious to see where his career goes, because I think that will be not a determining factor, but almost of like how the pop men will do.
I feel like there's like two options that he could do. I feel like he could either like lean into the performance, lean into like the pop star vibe and do that, or he could lean into like songwriting performance vibe and kind of go more like a Charlie Puth direction. I think Charlie Puth is a good example of somebody who like was making self-professed pop music, but it was just like not hitting like pop music should.
That's because his voice is just so bland. I know he has perfect pitch. I understand that.
He's super talented. It just does not do much for me.
But his voice is boring, and I think it's because he has perfect pitch. I think perfect pitch is great, but it can probably, I'm imagining it could, you know, what's the word? Restrict you a little bit.
He's a great songwriter and producer and everything. I just, yeah, like, I don't know.
I just, when I listen to him,
even like his, like, he got popular off of like See You Again, which is supposed to be like this really, I was just like, I don't know. It's not doing anything for me.
But I know, hey, it's clearly not just like, we clearly outliers here, because he's
huge,
very popular. And like, I know people who love his voice. So it's not, I know that's a me thing.
But he never felt like a bona fide pop star to me.
No, I just think, I don't know. I feel like to be one of the pop girlies right now as a man, though, I think you just have to bring your A game and like bring this big bombastic personality and like put on a show and like be fun. And I feel like a lot of men don't really do that for some reason. So
Pitbull is the last true pop artist.
Yeah, he's the last male pop artist. So I am curious to see. I don't think it's impossible, because I mean, it's an industry run by men. Why would it ever be impossible for them?
Right.
But it is interesting. Clearly, you can tell what music we're excited about. That was going to be what else we were going to talk about, but I feel like it's kind of
obvious. What are you excited about?
I'm loving the new Sabrina Carpenter album.
So
fun. Like, actually,
I'm excited to do our like recap for the end of this year, because we've gotten a lot of good music in 2024.
Yeah. Actually, no skips on that album for me. Legitimately love every single song. I think they're all so good. They're fun. Some of the lyrics are so clever. Some of them are just silly little songs. I just love it.
It's a masterclass too. And like, you can make an album where nothing sounds alike.
Yes.
And it still feels like the same album.
It's
like Taste
so
sounds
different.
Nothing like Bed Kim. That sounds nothing like, you know, Lie to Girls. It sounds nothing like Juno.
Yeah. Or Sharpest Tool.
Or Sharpest Tool. And like, they're all so fucking well written, well performed, well produced, well, you know, engineered. To me, that's like a perfect pop album.
Spoiler alert,
that will probably be my number one album of the year.
It will definitely be my number one album
of the year. It's in contention right now for Bill Murray's album, which is not a pop album at all.
Yeah, but still. Which is so funny that those are, that's the range of music this man has. Those are his two top albums.
Yeah.
Also, her music video for Taste, I thought was so good.
Incredible.
I loved that music video. It was so fun.
She's giving us shit to talk about. I think that's like, this is a good summary. I feel like a lot of male artists give us good music, but don't give us much else to talk about.
True. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They're just not giving. I don't know how to explain it besides that, which I know is like, that's how people on the internet talk. That doesn't make any sense, but I obviously am still loving Chapel Roan.
You excited for her new stuff?
I am. I'm curious to see what she does.
She said it's half done. And she said she has like a Western country song. She has like a disco song. She has like a ballad. Disco. She has like a rocky song. She has like two 80s pop songs.
Ugh, I'm really excited. Then I had no idea she was even doing all that. Because she released Midwest Princess last year.
So good.
Popped off this year. But
Good Luck Babe.
Yes. As a single. Then Good Luck Babe as a single. But obviously, usually artists release albums every 2 years. So I guess that does make sense. I am really excited about that then. I love her album.
I hope Lil Nas comes back. And I want him to do more poppy stuff. I expect that he'll do some more hip-hop tracks. I've heard him like leak things or play things live. But like, I kind of want more shit like Lost in the Citadel. Or like, what's the one that he has?
Montero.
Or even That's What I Want.
I do love him. I really love him. I hope he releases more music. But we were doing music we were excited about, not what we hoped.
Oh, not what we're anticipating. Just what we're excited about for now.
We talked about what we were anticipating for like 30 minutes.
That's true.
I do hope he releases more music, though. I really love him. Plus, I'd love to see him on tour again because he was so good.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite concerts.
Right now, I'm excited about the new Joan record they just released today.
Yes.
It's very, very, very good.
Yes. I always forget the singles because I'm so lazy, you guys, when it comes to my music. Like, that's why I'm an album person, is because I just put it on and just shuffle and let it play. I'm so lazy. I hate picking a new song every single time. Yeah. So when I get new songs like the Joan song, I have to add it to a playlist of like new songs that I like. Like, I never listen to Good Luck Baby even by Chapel because of that reason.
You almost have to go to your artist and hit shuffle.
True, yeah. I should do that because I'm so bad about
new G code that's going to change the way that you listen to music.
Can you hit shuffle on artists?
Yeah, you can, because it'll have all their albums and then it'll just shuffle through all the songs.
Yeah, but I'm really bad about that, about singles. But what else am I excited about?
I don't know.
The new Charlie album I like way more than I expected.
Yeah.
I do not like electronic music normally. Maybe I just didn't like that kind of electronic music. I don't know, because I really like her new album. I think it's so fun. And also I have this weird thing, which I know is probably very niche, but when people repeat things in songs like multiple times, it drives me crazy. I don't know why.
I cannot understand how you listen to back to back, because
I know, because
that is normally like a nightmare fuel song for you.
Yes. Like, I don't know why, you guys. It just like, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. It bothers me so badly when people repeat stuff all the time, like constantly. Almost all of her songs, I feel like she repeats stuff
super repetitive
multiple times. And I love it. I just love it. So I don't know what she did, but she broke my brain when it came to electronic music and repetitive lyrics, because I like her album a lot.
We're about to go to a bunch of concerts coming up. I'm excited for all those. Like, we're going to see Sabrina. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Charlie and Troy.
Mm-hmm. We'll see her, though, before. So she releases that new Brat, it's the same, but it's completely different, or
like
whatever.
Like a week after we see her.
Yes, like literally a week. The week we see her on a Sunday, I want to say, and she releases that on a Friday, I think. Yeah. So we'll be so close. Yeah,
Quinn 92 and Knox is coming up.
Mm-hmm. You just saw Bill Murray.
Bill Murray last week. Chase Atlantic is coming up. Yeah. So like, I've had like a really good...
It's like concert season.
Yeah, concert season. So maybe we do a podcast. If you guys want to hear a whole podcast episode, maybe in like 2 months when concerts are wrapped up, about like what the best and worst concerts that we went to this year were. We can do that, because we went to Olivia Rodrigo on Chapel Roan earlier this year.
Yep.
We went to
Knox and the Band Camino.
Knox and the Band Camino. That was a great show.
Yep.
What else? I feel like there's other stuff we're forgetting.
Probably.
I think we saw Half Alive this year. No, Half Alive was last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
Okay. Yeah. If y'all want to see a whole concert recap of best and worst and experiences, let us know.
Yeah, we're trying to go to more concerts, because I think the pandemic really put it in perspective. Everybody, like, ooh, you really, like, if you don't go to see somebody, you might not be able to see them for a really long time.
Yeah.
And also going back to concerts after the pandemic has really reminded both of us how much we just love live music.
I love live music.
Like, even when we went to see the band Camino and Knox, I love Knox. Like, I know most of his songs, but I didn't know that many band Camino songs. I only know, like, three of them, maybe. And they're very popular ones, but...
You know more than that. But, like, you don't know every word to everyone.
I don't know every word.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've heard them before, but, like, I don't know every word of them.
Right.
But, like, I still loved going. Like, it's just so fun being at concerts. And I love, too, seeing people at concerts when they're, like, with their friends and they're having a good time. Like,
yeah.
That's just the best, so...
Yeah, for two non-religious people, like, I don't, for me, that's, like, I think I've said it on the podcast before, but, like, live concerts are the closest thing that I get to, like, the feeling that people get when they go to church.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's just like, I always come back so recharged and inspired and like rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's nice too, that now I've been in the music scene for long enough that like a lot of the time when bands or artists will come to town, I'll know somebody on the tour so we can like go meet a bunch of people and hang out a little bit. Like we got to meet Garrison from the band Camino. We went and had dinner with him.
Yeah,
like
he
the
was
nicest
so nice.
Guy ever.
Yeah.
You know, I went and hung out with Knox in Tennessee. Like, it's just cool that now you kind of like, I can like break down that barrier and like meet the artists and enjoy the show and like see what it means to them. Like see how crazy it is that like, I just met somebody that's selling out a venue that they get to like, just like feel all of that all
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
Even like on the Murray tour, like I went back and met everybody. I've known Reese for like a few months. And then I was talking to Kale, who was doing a front of house for that show. Also, I want to get Kale on the podcast. I'm going to say this live. You don't even have to cut this, but I would love to get him to come talk about like running front of
yeah.
house sound for tours.
That was super interesting.
Watching him do that was just like so inspiring.
And I love a logistics breakdown.
Oh yeah.
I love
but
that.
But like, I went and had dinner with him before the concert and he was basically just telling me like, concerts to him, like all of the traveling, all of the eating shitty food, all of the stress, all of the monetary sacrifice is like all worth it just for that hour long set that he gets to run front of house on, because like he gets to be an extension of the band. He gets to see how much the music is impacting people. And he was saying that essentially like what happens is that he gets to like make an imprint on people. He's like, I yeah. can give people an experience that they're going to remember forever. Even more so than like me in the studio. Like I can make a song that sticks with people, but like I have a lot more than one chance to make that the perfect experience for somebody.
Oh, yeah,
where
totally.
Like Kale was like, I have that 1 hour set to make it matter to people.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so fucking true for yeah. live music. It's just like they have that one chance to impress you, make you feel something, give you a good time, and
a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I love live music. I'm also glad that artists are better at performing live now. That leads back to everybody being a little bit more talented than in the past.
Yeah, because I feel like back in the day it was like you either just got lucky, got a break, or you're in the right place at the right time, that kind of thing. Or like
you're marketable.
You know somebody. Yeah. So I felt like the choice of like finding this raw talent was a little harder, but I think now with social media and everything, it makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah, but that pretty much does it. We're gonna have another episode in a couple weeks. Let us know what y'all want us to talk about in the YouTube comments or on our Instagram.
Yes.
Other than that, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Make Pop Music. Make sure you follow us wherever you're listening to this. Before we head out, recommendations.
Okay, I thought about this a few days ago because I knew we were going to film this and I was like, I gotta do more of my silly little simple self-care things
because
that's what I'm sticking with. I've done it for like every episode except like two, so I'm gonna stick with it. This sounds weird and it sounds passive aggressive, but I'm not being passive aggressive, I promise. It is to touch grass or like the earth somehow.
Just go lay outside
or just stand on the earth with your bare feet, which I know sounds so hippie, but I'm telling you, there's something about it. It makes you feel more grounded.
Yeah.
And maybe I am a hippie and I'm like, oh, we come from nature, so that's why we need to do that. It makes you feel more connected. But I genuinely believe that. And I was having a really hard day a couple of weeks ago and I just went and stood on the grass for a second, just like a few minutes.
Take a couple of deep breaths.
Yeah. And it just felt really good just to literally touch grass.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my recommendation.
I love that.
Go touch grass, but not in a, I'm not saying it in a passive aggressive way.
Yeah.
Unless you're being rude, then I am.
Yeah, true. In which case, like that would probably help.
Yeah, it would probably help. Honestly, it really does help your mood.
Yeah, true. I think for mine, I'm just going to recommend live music. Like if you have the time and any funds whatsoever, go support live music. Go support, you know, bands and artists by buying their merch, you know, doing more than just giving them half a penny every time you listen to the song. So number one,
if you can, of course, because
yeah, if you can, concerts are expensive, merch is expensive. I understand.
Academy's tough.
Shit's hard.
Yeah.
But if you can swing it, or if you're just looking to have a good time, go out and enjoy some live music. We're in the middle of concert season, so I'm sure a lot of artists that you love are coming within, you know, an hour or two with you. If you live in a big city, that's got to be hard, actually, for people who, like, live in the middle of nowhere.
I was thinking that, yeah.
But if you live in a place where it's possible, you have the funds, go support people, go listen to live music, even just, like, go to a bar and, like, listen to somebody play acoustic guitar there.
Yeah.
It's nice. All right. Other than that, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next time. Until then,
much love, peace.